I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time for another Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon netcast. And I trust you've been having great fun this week with your tech. I have my tablet in hand here, and I'm ready to get into some stuff. Stuff, as you know, is what we have week to week. Yes. And this is the 261st edition of Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, the netcast. Indeed. We are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Yes. Check out all the tech podcast programs. There's a lot of good stuff out there. Indeed. So, this was not another one of those weeks that there was a lot of stuff happening, at least in my world. But one big one, one really big one, and that is this, Ubuntu 12.10, also known as Quantal Quetzal. The last one was Precise Pangolin. This is Quantal Quetzal. Anyway, how did they come up with these things? But this is the new version, and it is built on the 3.5.7 Linux kernel. Salute. Not that kind of kernel. Anyway, you'll also find the GNOME 3.6 applications and libraries, but of course not the GNOME interface. Instead, you'll find the Unity interface with the HUD heads-up display. You'll also find the latest versions of proper Linux desktop applications such as Firefox 16.01, LibreOffice 3.6.2, dude, and Thunderbird 16.0.1. Cool stuff. So I thought what we would do is have an actual demo of installing the new version of Ubuntu and make a few comments as I go along. Right here on the show. And we'll do that in just a moment. But first, a word from our sponsor. As you know, this week we are sponsored by GoToMeeting, Citrix Systems GoToMeeting. Now, the cool thing about the new GoToMeeting is the HD faces. And there's a lot of new features. But I'm telling you, the HD faces make it nice because you actually can literally go to a meeting virtually by connecting through your iPad, your Mac, your PC, wherever you might be. You know, it's convenient. And that's the great thing about GoToMeeting. It is so convenient and so easy. You send out your invitation, the people join the meeting, and if they have a webcam, particularly an HD webcam, it's just like you're sitting there basically conversing with the person. You can see their, you know, their expressions and you know, we interpret things by what we see, by the expressions people have and when they're thinking and those kinds of things. Those are subtle things that you won't get unless you are sitting there, so to speak, face to face. Well, with GoToMeeting, you really can be face to face. It is just like being in a real meeting, but without all the inconveniences of having to fly to some other city or set up special things. No, you just connect right from your office, from your home, from your iPad, whatever, and you can connect and go to that meeting. Super convenient. And we have a special offer for you that if you enter this special code word right here, then you will be able to get 30 days free trial. That's an awesome, awesome opportunity. So take advantage of it. Do it now. You will not regret it. All right, let's go into our demo of installing Ubuntu 12.10 and make some comments about it, particularly after we get it installed. Let's look at that now.
All right, what we have here is Oracle VirtualBox. This is the latest, greatest version. I just installed it on my new laptop. And we're going to install Ubuntu. Notice as I type Ubuntu that it's smart enough to know that I'm going to install Linux Ubuntu. Isn't that just amazingly awesome? Now I'm going to take the memory up to a gig. You don't have to. 512 is sufficient, but I just like having plenty of memory. We're going to create a hard drive. We're going to let it be a VirtualBox drive. And we're going to use dynamically allocated. I like to do that because there's no use taking additional memory when you don't need it. Since this is just a demo, 8 gig is sufficient. You'd want to make it larger if you were actually going to use this as a working machine, so to speak. All right, now we're going to start it. And as it starts, you'll notice we have an opportunity to find the Ubuntu disk that we downloaded, the actual disk with the desktop ISO. Now this is 12.10, the latest, greatest version. All right, we're going to start the installation. Our VirtualBox will boot. And there you go, we're running Ubuntu. And of course it will take a second here to initialize and start up. I suppose I should be making witty comments here, but I don't have any witty comments. I usually rely on Fred for my witty comments. So I'm sure he'll have some interesting things to type in later. He has the virtue of typing in the comments after I finish, so he gets to think about his witty comments as opposed to me just talking into a microphone. All right, Ubuntu 12.10 just came out this week. Pretty excited about it. And SMS base address uninitialized, upgrade BIOS or use force address. You know what? I bet that's because, since this is, as I mentioned, a new laptop, I haven't set the BIOS to use virtualization. So I suspect that's the case. I did upgrade the BIOS, so this is the latest, greatest version of the BIOS. And that's always a good thing to do. I will mention that. You should always upgrade your BIOS on your system. I'm going to bring the window back down into our viewing area here. Anyway, because your basic input output system, your BIOS, as they make improvements and as they add features, you want to take advantage of those new features. It's almost like getting, in effect, a hardware upgrade by simply upgrading your BIOS. So something I would encourage you to do. All right, we're still waiting, as the little thing there indicates. Now we can either try Ubuntu, which means we will be running it from the ISO, or we can choose install. And since that is our purpose, to install Ubuntu, I think we probably should go with install. I'm going to do the download updates while installing, and I also always check install this third-party software. Now, this is interesting. Ubuntu is Linux. Linux people are open source. Highly dedicated open source folks do not want proprietary plugins. However, as we all well know, proprietary plugins are necessary for some things to work, like MP3, for instance. So I like to go ahead and choose them. I'm not so completely open source oriented that I don't want to exclude the third party software. So I do want to have it, and I go ahead and choose that. Okay, we do want to erase the disk, so let's continue. Now keep in mind, this is not erasing your whole C drive. This is erasing just the small 8 gig drive that we created for the purpose of installing Ubuntu. So no worries here, folks, okay? Alrighty. It detects that I am in the Eastern time zone, which is true. So we'll proceed. Notice it's creating the EXT4 file system. Back in the day, EXT2, EXT3 file systems were the vogue, but now EXT4, a much improved file system, is available. It is a journaled file system. It's very nice. English. Yes, indeed. That is what I speak in the Deutsch. No, the English, not the Deutsch. Or hablo español, as far as that goes. All right, my name. I happen to know that. And, of course, my typical username. And the ultimate, amazing, super secure password. Actually, it says it's fair. Password selection has gotten much tougher these days. They're, they're just so picky. You know, I could put an at on the end, an at sign, and that usually will make it much better. So I'll have to remember that I did that. Otherwise, I won't remember my password. But that's just a good little clue if you want to make it just a teeny bit more secure. And I like to have the green. I like to see green. Green is good. All right. Now, of course, we go through the usual. You've got to watch the little bar go across the bottom of your screen, so I'm going to take the time to show you a few commercials. Part of our installation. Fast and full of new features, the latest version of Ubuntu makes computing easier than ever. Here are just a few cool new things to look out for. And of course, it will continue to change the slides as we go through the copying of files. This, of course, is the exciting part of our program. But hey, somebody's got to do it. Ooh, we have a new slide. Say goodbye to searching the web for new software. With Ubuntu Software Center, you can find and install new apps with ease. Just type in what you're looking for or explore categories such as science, education, and games alongside helpful reviews from other users. They've kind of made the Software Center social. You know, as people install things, they can star them and comment and so forth, which is, I guess, useful. You know, if people find a game or an application that they're really hyper excited about and they rate that highly, then I guess that's kind of nice to know, you know, what's out there. But I tend to be a bit of a rogue when it comes to such things. Sometimes things I like are things that bore other folks because I'm into the tech side. All right, Shotwell is a handy photo manager that is ready for your gadgets. Connect a camera or a phone to transfer your photos. Then it's easy to share them and keep them safe. If you're feeling creative, you can try lots of photo apps from the Ubuntu Software Center. So notice, included software is the Shotwell Photo Manager. Supported is the GIMP and PTV Video Editor. I'm actually a huge fan of the GIMP, so I always install the GIMP right away. GIMP, of course, being the Graphical Image Manipulation Program. Pretty much do everything with the GIMP, you know. Personally, I haven't found anything that I can't do with the GIMP that I could do with Photoshop, unless you count the brand new Photoshop features that are so amazingly cosmic that they're magical. But it's expensive, what can I say? All right, next slide here. Ubuntu One gives you 5 gig of free cloud storage to access your files, share your photos, and stream your music to your computers, tablets, and smartphones. Any photo you take appears on all your devices the instant you take it. Ubuntu One runs on Ubuntu, Windows, Mac, Android, iOS, and the web. Basically, anywhere you are, you can get to Ubuntu One, which is a service provided by Canonical, which I'm sure I'm not pronouncing correctly, but I do the best I can. I don't know why I have a problem with Canonical. Next slide, Ubuntu comes with the amazing Rhythmbox music player with advanced playback options and the Ubuntu One music store built in. It's simple to queue up the perfect songs, and it works great with CDs and portable music players so you can enjoy all your music wherever you go. Now again, Rhythmbox is nice, it's okay, but I prefer VLC. VLC plays anything. Now it's not as pretty as Rhythmbox, and you know that it shows all the various album covers and information and all of those kinds of things, but I like VLC because it's kind of like the Swiss Army knife of video and audio players. It will play any format. I've yet to find one that I can't play with VLC. Okay, we got another slide. The messaging menu gives you an eagle eye view of incoming messages from all applications and social networks, so you can see straight away when there's something new to read, regardless of how it arrived. And then of course it gives you the supported services of Twitter, Facebook, and Identica. Cute. I suspect that's probably European, as was the you can see straight away. Very British. All right, we are probably 7/8 of the way through our copying of files, and my screen blanked out because it's taking so long. My computer said I'm going to sleep. Had to wake it back up there. Next slide, Ubuntu includes Firefox, the web browser used by millions of people around the world, and web applications you use frequently, like Facebook or Gmail, for example, can be pinned to your desktop for faster access, just like apps on your computer. Included software is Firefox web browser, and supported software includes Flash and Chromium. Now, Chromium is the Linux version of Chrome, the Google web browser, and I prefer Chromium. Although I must admit, Firefox has gotten better. Firefox had a lot of memory issues in recent years that got me away from Firefox. It used to be my very favorite browser. Then Chrome came out and I switched to Chrome, but Firefox is looking really good now. Here we got a slide on one of my favorite apps, LibreOffice, a free office suite packed with everything you'll need to create impressive documents, spreadsheets, and presentations. LibreOffice tries its best to work with other office software, and it uses the Open Document standards for far-reaching compatibility. It includes Writer, Calc, and Impress. And again, does everything I need it to do. So, hey, what can you say? It's a good tool for productivity. All right, we're now really kind of wrapping it up here. We do have another slide though. At the heart of Ubuntu's philosophy is a belief that computing is for everyone. With advanced accessibility tools and options like your preferred color scheme, text size, and language, Ubuntu is for everyone, whoever you are and wherever you are. You can customize the appearance, you can use assistive technologies, and language support. And I will say, Ubuntu does a good job in all those areas. I would like just a little more flexibility in the appearance. I know some folks are going to say, yeah, but Dr. Bill, you can do anything you want. Yeah, but they don't make it falling off a rock easy. You know what I'm saying? I think they've got just a little bit of work to do in that area. Although, I'm saying that based on past experience, I haven't tried 12.10 just yet. All right, we got our last slide here, I think, at least one of our last slides. Check out askubuntu.com for answers to all your Ubuntu questions. There's a good chance your question will have been answered already, and if not, you'll find thousands of volunteers eager to help. For more support options, go to ubuntu.com/support. I say it's probably one of the last slides because they usually put up one of those support slides right before they finish the installation. So, we've gone through our setting up. Looks like we set up boot just a little while ago. We're installing our language packs and running a few last options here. post-installation, that's always good to see when you see post-installation. That kind of means you're pretty much done. Detecting hardware. Obviously detected USB because it's installing the module for USB. Configuring our hardware. Of course, the hardware obviously that it's configuring is virtual hardware that VirtualBox is offering to it. It's not actually seeing the underlying physical PC. An interesting point to make there. That's why virtualization to me is so fascinating. The fact that even the hardware layer is virtualized. But we're going through the entire installation here. Normally I would cut out all of the boring sections, but I've been trying to keep you entertained as we wait. Just think, you'll get to see this yourself if you choose to install it on your hardware or in your virtual world. I'm sure you're saying, wow, cool, I get to see it all over again. But you notice, not too many necessary clicks or options here to go through. It's not like you have to be a rocket scientist to install Ubuntu. We've pretty much just been reading the slides and watching the little bar go across the screen, which is a good thing. You know, we had a few decisions to make early on, but they were fairly straightforward. All right, our installation is complete. You need to restart the computer. Well, of course, go ahead and restart. I'm all for it. And I, in the meantime, I've also turned on the virtualization support. So that should help us. You know, in the BIOS, I went into the BIOS and turned on virtualization support. Is what I meant. Now we're booting our newly installed Ubuntu machine. All right, now that I've got it back in the right screen here, let's type in our amazing super secret password with the additional at on the end. See there, I did remember. And now we should come up into the Unity interface, which is the default for Ubuntu. And the heads-up display coming up here. There's our home. There's our Firefox browser. LibreOffice installed there. Of course, the Ubuntu Software Center. I clicked on the browser, that's why it went ahead and came up. And we got some new things. Ubuntu One Music, Amazon. Now this was a very controversial decision on Ubuntu's part to include Amazon so prominently in this new release. Ubuntu One and so forth. And you might say, well, why is that such a controversial thing? Well, again, we're talking about folks that are open source oriented. And the idea of providing a company direct access through the operating system here is just a little much for a lot of folks. So I kind of understand that, but again, this is the way everything's heading. I'm sure Amazon is probably kicking back a little to them. There's a lot of folks that are probably also concerned about that. I understand it, like I said, but I'm not 100% against it, because we are talking about a completely free operating system here, as opposed to Microsoft that charges an arm and a leg for everything. Basically, the beauty of this heads-up display in Unity is that you could type anything. If you want to get to a terminal, you just start typing terminal. And notice, before I even finish, it comes up. Now, here is where the controversy comes in. Suggestions from Amazon based on what you're typing in. Yeah, that may be a little heavy-handed. I'm sure it will increase sales through Amazon, but I'm not sure I really do want my operating system suggesting that I purchase things off Amazon. I'm a big Amazon fan. I'm a big Amazon user. I have the Kindle Fire. I have a regular Kindle. Got all my music in Amazon in the cloud player, but I just don't know about having it kind of thrown in my face, so to speak. So I can understand why some people are a mite turned off by that. But there you go. So that is the new Unity world and also the new Ubuntu world. What I would be interested in, I'm going to play around with, is customizing it so that we can see what is available in terms of customization. I'm not a huge fan of the standard look and feel for the color scheme of it. So, something to consider. I'll play with that, and hopefully you enjoyed our little excursion into both virtualization and Ubuntu 12.10, and that'll do it for the demo.
All right, hope you enjoyed that. That was neat, and sometimes there's nothing like actually seeing the installation, seeing what the options are, and so I wanted to share that with you. Hope that was useful for you. Now let's talk about our, let's talk about our Geek Software of the Week. Even when I know it's coming, it's surprising because it's just so loud. Anyway, the Geek Software of the Week this week, dude, it is really, really cool. And that's because it fills a need that you probably have, particularly at work. And if you have been holding off on doing project plans at work because you don't have Microsoft Project and you think, oh my goodness, it's just going to cost too much to license Microsoft Project for every single person that's involved in this project. Well, guess what? You don't have to anymore. You know, your consultant or your project leader may have created a Microsoft Project plan, but you don't want to license Project for everybody? Well, I tell you what. This Geek Software of the Week will help you out. It is called Project Libre. Sounds like LibreOffice, doesn't it? Not the same people, but it's open source, and it's completely free, and it is a free open source version, clone, if you will, of Microsoft Project. Dude, I'm telling you, it's really cool. It is compatible with Microsoft Project 2010. It even has the Ribbon user interface. It has printing features that they've added in and has major bug fixes, and it's only a couple of months old as an open source project, but I'm telling you, this thing is pretty slick. I tried it, installed it on my PC at work, pulled up a project plan. There was my charts and my graphs, and everything was there that I needed. Check it out. This really will help, I believe, some of the folks that are watching right now and going, you mean there's an open source version of Project? Well, it is Project Libre. So check it out. Man, speaking of Microsoft, and you know I do that on a regular basis, but not in a necessarily favorable fashion. Office Outlook 2013 is to have better support for the IMAP protocol. Now, the IMAP protocol is a mail protocol, and it is a standard, much like SMTP, Simple Mail Transport Protocol. IMAP is a protocol where the mail basically stays on the server and you connect to it. And it's the one that I use all the time. I use Squirrel Mail and I use Send Mail on the server, and then I use the IMAP protocol to communicate between the two. But Microsoft has not been good about supporting open standards, as you probably well know. But they're claiming that Outlook 2013 will be better for IMAP support. As I say, we'll see how well they manage that. I don't know if they'll pull it off or not. I just don't have a lot of confidence in Microsoft when it comes to supporting open standards. You know what I'm saying? Sorry, Microsoft. Maybe you'll get your act together, you know, before you're swept aside in the great revolution that's coming. As they said on Hitchhiker's First Up Against the Wall when the revolution came. I'm kidding. All right, also, this is something, speaking again of Microsoft, Zoom has bitten the dust, truly has gone the way of all things dead. And you'll notice that on my website, where I had the little lines there for subscribe via RSS, subscribe via iTunes, subscribe via Zoom, I have removed Zoom and put in subscribe via Vimeo. And then, of course, subscribe by TPN, that's Tech Podcast Network, subscribe by Blueberry, and subscribe via YouTube. All of those are outlets for the Dr. Bill Show. And you can click on the little bitty, tiny little teeny icons there, and it will take you to those various sources. So I encourage you to do that. I also encourage you to go to the website, drbill.tv, and see all the cool things we have there. We've got ads. I know some of you are saying, I care about ads, Dr. Bill. Well, hold on. There's some great opportunities here. Crash Plan, super offer through Crash Plan. If you click through on our website, awesome offer on the Roku box. If you click through our website, I encourage you to do that. Just great stuff here. And also some information here about the DrBillBailey.net private Roku channel, which, as you know, if you have a Roku, you sign into your Roku account, you go to private channels in your account screen there, and you enter the private channel secret code DRBILLTV, as it says here, and you'll be on our special Roku channel. So I encourage you to do that. That will be good for you. You'll have good stuff. Know what I'm saying? All right, let's look at geek wisdom, the sacred teachings of nerd culture. So, this is a good one this week. I happen to like this one. This is a phrase spoken by Dr. Sam Beckett in the show Quantum Leap, which I was a big fan of Quantum Leap. And his quote is, oh boy. You say, what can you say about that phrase? Oh boy. There's so much meaning in that. It's so deep and philosophical. Okay, let's see what the book says. One of the most important things in life is maintaining the proper perspective. Realizing that no matter how important or earth-shattering our problems may seem in any given minute, someone else is dealing with something that to them is just as profound and or just as devastating. This is something Sam Beckett became intimately familiar with, because if anything will force you to metaphorically look at the world through another person's eyes, it's literally looking at the world through another person's eyes. Sam spent 5 seasons exiled helplessly from his own existence, quantum leaping into the lives and bodies of various unfortunates scattered across the time stream. And it tells you something, that after discovering each time that his latest leap wouldn't be the one to finally bring him home, Sam did not succumb to desperation or despondency. He just allowed himself a momentary respite, a succinct, oh boy. Then he got down to the business of setting right that which was wrong. Okay, here's the fine print. Whoa. Here comes some really obscure geek trivia. Alan Sherman, the 1960s song parodist, he did parodies. Precursor to Weird Al Yankovic, also wrote Hello Mudda, Hello Fada. Also recorded a little ditty titled Oh Boy. Sadly, Sam Beckett never met him on screen. Geek wisdom, the sacred teachings of nerd culture. Okay. Anyway, like I said, slow news week, but we had that long segment of how to install Ubuntu 12.10. Yes. So join us next time. And until then, remember that the doctor is out of here.
Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.